remain standing, please. We're going to get Brother Aaron, if he will, to open us in prayer. Be seated.
Some people save their money for the hard times that's to come, planning for the future of their daughters and sons. But when life down here on earth is through and we face the judgment throne, the only thing that matters is if to Him your soul belongs. The only thing that matters is if you've been born again. Has the blood been applied? Are you forgiven of your sins? And when He opens up the book of life and into your heart He stares, the only thing that matters is if your name is written there. In this modern age we live in, many seek for worldly gain. They lay up earthly treasures and live for wealth and fame. But if they would only realize, when you die it's all in vain. The only thing that matters is if He knows your name. The only thing that matters is if you've been born again. Has the blood been applied? Are you forgiven of your sins? And when He opens up the book of life and into your heart He stares, the only thing that matters is if your name is written there. The only thing that matters is if you've been born again. Has the blood been applied? Are you forgiven of your sins? And when He opens up the book of life and into your heart He stares, the only thing that matters is if your name is written there. And the only thing that matters is if your name is written there.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do next. Why don't you and Brother Roy figure out an instrumental y'all can do in a little bit, if y'all want to.
Where's our little men at? We'll get our building fund off.
Do Amazing Grace while they take up that little offer.
See?
Thank you.
that helps with our vinyl. Pay for our vinyl, and then we'll do our regular offering and get Daddy to come up. Ask a blessing on the offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we give back to your work, Lord. Bless the offering and give it up when we have nothing. We praise
Good morning. Good to be here. I thank the Lord for the privilege to come. First time I'm preaching. How long?
Like 1 time in 7 months.
All right. How many got one of these little books? How many don't have one? If you don't have one, I got some right here. That little book right there is the finest thing for a young convert you ever saw. And old converts too. Yeah. I go back and look in it myself, you know. This book is really something. Somebody really did a lot of work right here. And all they done was copy down scripture. What blessings or beneficial do I have now that I am saved? First of all, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit helps me when I pray. Next, God made my body his temple. I am made a partaker of his divine nature. Eternal, I have eternal life. Made me his own child. And so that was the answer to that question. So it's a good little book, and I ordered 1,000 of them. So I got them so that I can give them out to anybody that needs one. All right, take your Bible and turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's see, wait a minute, am I right? Right. I believe it is. The 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we should, you see, what we should pray for. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so I'm glad today that, you know, this little puny prayer that we pray, you know, how many of you pray a whole lot? Well, I tell you, you see, it's good to pray a whole lot. But the thing of it is, when we are praying, what we do don't go directly to God. See, the Spirit is searching our heart all the time we are praying our little prayers. And he's living the true heart to the Holy Spirit, or to the Father, see. And so today we need to learn. We need to know this book. This book is the most wonderful book that I remember from my mother. She died when I was 5 or 6 years old. But she'd take out that old back Bible and every night, and she put her children to bed in a one-room log cabin down at Bullock, North Carolina. She'd sit down and read that Bible to us, and then she would tuck us in bed, and she would lean over, three of us, she'd lean over us and pray, and then she would kiss us goodnight. And so, you know, I'm so glad. Every day I pray, you know, that she died when I was 6 years old, and I declare, but I tell you, she had pounded the word in me. And so when she was going to the hospital for the first time, she was 27 years old, had all the rest of the children at home in my Grandpa Newton's house. A little black lady named Aunt Carrie come down to live with us. And so, but on the fourth child, she had problems, and she had to go to the hospital. And so when she went off that morning, she called me in the house, and she says, "I'm going away." And she says, "I don't know whether I come back or not, but says, I want you to promise me that if I don't come back, you're going to meet me in heaven." I said, "I will, Mama." So she died. I didn't see her no more alive, but they brought her down to the neighbor's, to the landlord's house in the casket, and my mama's sister picked me up, and I looked over in there, and I said, my, I got a promise to fulfill. And so I lived a pretty rough life after that. Dad and my two sisters went on home with his oldest sister. But I won't tell this part of it, but she didn't want me, and so I was left to roam and go to one Uncle Nod's house for about 2 years, and then I finally come to my mind, if I don't get somewhere to stay long enough to go to school, I won't be worth nothing. And so that day I was at Grandpa Newton's house, and he got me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, And we went back up in the hills, and this was during Hoover's time, and went back up in the hills, and he pulled out pipe and barrels and all kind of things. And so we finally got it together, and it was liquor still. And I fired that thing all day that day. And when I went home that night, I was sitting on the trunk. I says, I got to get somewhere away from things like this and get where that I can pass first grade. So when he got through talking to Grandpa, he come over there and sit down on that trunk beside of me, and he said, who are you? And I told him, I said, well, I says, he says, we know you. I said, we who? And he said, me and my wife. So we got 6 children, they all married and gone. And so we've been talking about you. We want you. And I said, you send me to school? He said, yes, I will. I said, I'll go home with you. Grandpa wouldn't let me go, but I got him aside. I said, you come back Sunday. I said, I'll go home with you. He come back Sunday, and the house was full, and the yard was full. And so when he got ready to go home, I was in his old 37 Ford. Went home with him, stayed 10 years. He sent me to school, and that's what I wanted to do. And I was in the 10th grade, and then he says, I'm going to take you out of school. Well, I won't tell the rest of that story. Anyway, I want us to get into the Word of God today. That's the most important thing. And so the Word says, and it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that's the most important thing we need to do, is to study this book, see? And then, and this right here will sure help you now. I tell you, Will, you get a question, look in it. Go down and look into it, and you'll find the answer, see? And so we need today to learn this word, see? And I'm reminded of an old man. How many of you ever heard of a poorhouse? Any of you? Surely somebody have. One young man, poorhouse. I ain't talking about your house now. I'm talking about the poorhouse. Back when I was a lad, right down below my house, at where I lived there with this man, that was a poorhouse. Boy, and it was a poorhouse then that didn't have no nursing homes. And a person that didn't have nowhere to go, starving to death or whatever, they could go and live in the poorhouse and eat the poorest of food and live the poorest. And that house down there was a place that they used for a poorhouse right next to a black church. And so I used to go there and talk to the people, you know. But finally, they come out with the government come out and built nice nursing homes. And when you get to where you don't have nowhere to go now, you just go to a nursing home. But however, the poorhouse was where the poorest of poorest lived. And I read a story about a man. And this man, he was a wealthy man. He was really wealthy. And so he lived until he was an elder man, and he lost everything he had. He lost his money, his home, lost everything. And so he got put into a poorhouse. And so he was there. One day the chaplain come down to see him, and he says, well, mister, he says, you might as well set your house in order. You're not going to live. He says, oh, yes, I am. He says, no, you're not. He says, I ain't going to die. He says, yes, you are going to die too. He says, and so finally the chaplain said, why do you know you're not going to die? He says, well, I tell you what you do. You look over on that table and look in my strong box, and you bring me my 3 insurance policies. I'd like to read them. And he says, you mean to tell me you're in the poorhouse and you got 3 insurance policies? Yes, sir. I got 3 insurance policies. So he went over there on the table, and he didn't see nothing. Finally, he realized that it was this book right here, this book. And so he said, I got insurance policies in there. He says, I don't see none. He says, you ain't looked at the right place. He says, look at my fire insurance policy there. And so he looked in there, all over that Bible, he couldn't find it. He says, it's right over there in 1 Peter. He said, look over there in 1 Peter. And he looked over there and he says, it's 1 Peter, the 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter in the 10th through the 14th verse. He said, look at it, 2 Peter. Y'all look at it here and see it's what I'm talking about. You got one too, you know that. If you're saved, you just look at it here. And so the old man finally got it over to the chaplain, and he looked over there in 2 Peter, and he looked at chapter 3, and he looked down at the verses there, started at the 10th verse, and it tells us here, for he that will love life and tongue, let me see if that's the right place. Now this is 1 Peter, I'm sorry. All right, here you go, 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and goes on there, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all things shall be dissolved. What manner of person are we to be? And then he looked on down in conversation. He kept on reading down verse 13. Look what it said. Nevertheless, now you see the earth, everything going to melt with fervent heat. But look at here. Nevertheless, he said, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So you see, he said to the chaplain, he says, you see, I'm not going to burn. And the chaplain just stood there and looked real funny, you know. And so he says, I might not ever burn. And so he said, well, see, this old man had been doing his homework. He'd been looking through the Bible, see. And so then he said, well, now you got a fire insurance policy. You won't burn, but what about life insurance? He says, all right, turn over to John 10:28. And look at it, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so he goes on to say, no one can knock them out of the hand of my Father. And so, what insurance policies we got. You see, we're not going to burn. We're not going to die. And that's what that old man was telling that chaplain there. He says, I'm not going to die. And the chaplain just looked real funny. He said, well, you got me on those two. But says, what about your next policy? He said, oh, I got an accident policy too. He says, you have? He says, yeah. So look at Romans 10:28. Look over there in Romans 8:28, I believe it is. Romans. So look at it. Romans. You see, if we're just looking this book right here, we'll find that we got a lot of things, you see, that we don't think we did. Let's see here. 10:28. It's 8:28. It ain't 10:28. 8:28. It says here, And we know that all things work together to the good of them that love God. And so, and he says, to them whom are they called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. See, he even noticed, see, the Bible says in this same book, it says Jesus had planned to do what he did for us before the foundation of the world was ever laid, you see. And so here he is, for whom he did foreknow, see. I see he knew who was going to be saved, who wasn't. But you know what he done? He put salvation in reach of every man. Every man that is living, every woman that is living or ever lived or ever will live, he put salvation right in reach of them. All they had to do is reach out by faith. But he being knowing God, he was God and knowing these things, he knew who would and who wouldn't. See, that's what he said. Whom he did foreknow, see. And so he knew all about us, see. I'm glad that one day he was hanging on the cross, and you know the priest was standing by, and the priest looking up at him says, my, says he claimed he could save anybody, and yet he's hanging on that cross and he can't save himself. And then the old thief on one side hollered at him and said, if you be the Christ, why don't you come down and save yourself and save us? And then there was several people standing around there looking at him, you know, and said, why don't he come down? But you know what was on his mind? And you know who was on his mind? Me and you. I conducted a little handicapped a cousin of mine one day. She lived over here in the Bellevue's home. And I'd go by there to see her sometimes. And so she died. And they called me. They said, look, Barbara died. And said, we don't have no record of nobody but you. I said, well, I'm just the first cousin. I said, but I know somebody that is, I know her daddy's brother that he's living. She said, well, please call him. And so I called up her daddy's brother. Her daddy was dead. And one of the meanest men that has ever walked the face of the earth, I reckon, when I was living at Grandpa's house, Daddy had three half-brothers, but this middle one was a great big man. And this man was so mean, he didn't, well, one day we were going to the mill to grind some meal, and we turned to go down this road, and this little boy lived right on the side of the road, and he was out in that path there playing with some little cars. And this man stopped. The little boy run to the house. And so he said, told me, he said, get out there and get them cars. I said, I ain't gonna get them little boys' cars. I says, they ain't mine. He said, I said, and he gritted his teeth. I said, get out there and get them cars. Well, I knew what it meant if I didn't, so I got out there and got them. Went on down to the mill and come up by that. The little boy didn't come back out there. So I went on almost home to Grandpa's house, and he turned and would pull the wagon, went out through the another road there. I said, he ain't going home. I said, he ain't up to no good. Took me off up in the woods, and he beat me half to death. Said, I'm going to teach you how not to steal. And so I promised myself, I said, if I ever get big enough, I said, this man is going to get the worst beating he ever had in his life. Time went on and years passed by. And one day, the man had come down to where he couldn't hardly breathe. He had emphysema. He was just about to die. So I thought about what I said. I promise I made. So me and a wife and two children went on up to his house, and I pulled up there, and he was coming up from a chicken house down there. And I got out and sat on the bank, and he come up and sat down beside him. And I said, Luther, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, you know how mean you was to me and my two sisters. And I says, I promised that you were going to get the beating of your life if I ever got big enough. I said, well, you know something, Luther? I said, before I got big enough, God saved me. And all I want to do is see you saved right now. He said, then he shook his head. He says, God won't save a man like me, Roy. I said, yes, he will too. I said, the devil got you blind. I said, he'll save you right now if you call on him. So he didn't call on him. So finally wound up in a nursing home, room 30 at Piney Forest Road. And I went by to see him about once a week, and I always witnessed to him. And so one day I went in there, and old Luther was a different person. He had a smile on him. That he said, Roy, the other night I woke up, God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he said, I want you to know that I called on God. Your word come to me, and I called on it, and he saved my soul. I said, that's what I want to hear, Luther. I said, that's all I want to hear. I'm so glad that he saved you. And so, won't long before Luther died, and his son showed up from somewhere. He beat all his children till it was just about, didn't have no sense. He had three children, and little Barbara was one of them. And so I went to the funeral, and they got this man to preach a funeral. I didn't know him. He looked like he was just lost. So I made my way up out to the, under the tent. I said, tell me, Mustard, do you know anything about this man? He says, no, I don't. I said, well, let me tell you something about this man. And I told him about that man getting saved. And he says, I'm glad you come up here. He says, you done give me a new outlook on life to preach this message. So he went on, and so then his son, I hadn't seen him in years, but he come up to me. He says, I didn't know you were going to be here, that I'd have got you to conduct this funeral. I said, no, you got the right man to do it now. So Luther, the meanest man I ever known, I seen him take my grandpa's mule and tie it up to the top of the ceiling, his head, and it's as far as he could go, and take pitchfork and job him and grit his teeth at him and curse him. I thought, he is the meanest man I ever seen. But you know, God saved him too. And so God has saved you, you see. If you're here today, you can have these three insurance policies. You can have this life insurance, you can have this fire insurance, and I ain't talking about an insurance policy where you have to die to get the reward for it. I'm talking about a policy that keeps you, that's against burning, against dying, against accident. This is the most wonderful book in the world right here. This book will tell you about it. And so today, I tell you what, Preacher Grayson came after Brother Bob Snead did to Riverview Baptist Church, and when he got there, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I was a baby in the Bible, but I was teaching a Sunday school class anyway. But however, when he got there, he all took money and ordered every family a Cruden's Concordance. And he says, now, I want you to learn how to use it. Says that thing will be the most help to you. So if you don't have one, you let me know and I'll get you one. Because you can sit down and you can take that Cruden's Concordance. Or there's a better one than that called the Strong's Concordance. But this is the one that's least expensive. And so you can take that thing and you want a verse in the Bible or you want to know something. One day a guy walked up down my father-in-law's house and he says, I'm selling Nay's Topical Bible. I said, what will that Bible do? He says, you can find most anything you want to know and find in the Bible. And so I'm left-handed. And I heard this something about the left-handed person. I told him, I said, I'll tell you what you do. If you'll show me about the left-handed man in the Bible, I said, I'll buy one of them. So it wasn't but a minute he showed me. It's in Judges 20:16. It says in Judges 20:16 that, let me see how it goes. I just want to look at it. Judges 20:16. I know what it says, but I better. Yeah, let me tell you what it says. It says there was 700 chosen men, left-handed, that could throw a rock at a hare's breast and not miss. That's what it says in Judges 20:16. So I bought that topical Bible from that man, and but then Preacher Grayson bought us the Cruden's Concordance. The Cruden's Concordance is better than that. And so today, if you don't have one, you need one. You can take it. See, all I'm doing now is writing tracts and doing personal soul winning. And so I have a Cruden's Concordance that Preacher Grayson bought us. The church bought it for us. And anyway, you can take that thing and say you want to know something. And that's what you don't know about that left-handed person. Just look up left-handed in the Cruden's Concordance and you'll find it. And same way, I got a concordance in the back of my Bible, but it's not a full concordance. Pretty good that I can find a lot of things in it. But however, I stay in a concordance all the time. If I get ready to study, I'm gonna get a concordance right there beside him. I got the Strong's Concordance, but I don't like it. It's too. You have to look too far to find it. But Cruden's Concordance, if you don't have one, you let me know, and I'll buy you one. I'll order it. I'm a member of a books club called that's right, Fincastle. Anyway, I'll order you one. But every one of you need a Cruden's Concordance, and then you won't have a Bible you can look at and wonder where so-and-so is. You just get that Cruden's Concordance out and you find one word in that, think of one word in that sentence you want or whatever, and you look it up in that Cruden's Concordance and it'll give you all the places that it is in the Bible, see, and then you can find it. And so I use it all the time. And so this old man that was right here, we have here, this old man, he used that called concordance. I know he did. And so today, you know, we need to learn how to find things in the Bible. And we need to keep up with it and look up things all the time. And so that's what I do in my tracts. I look up something I want to see in the track and lately I wrote a track. It's called Why Do I Need to Be Saved? There's a lot of people sitting in the churches today around America. They sitting there and they're asking that question. And you ask them the question, they'll say, well, so it's just like this. I don't curse. I don't call the Lord's name in vain. And I'm a good provider for my family, and I do this and do that. So why do I need to be saved? They don't know that they need to be saved because they're born lost. But they don't know that. They think, well, why I need to be saved? And so that's what I do. I write tracts and answer questions like that. There's a question in the Bible that a man asked me in a thrift store one day. And he came running up and he said, let me see one. Let me have one of your tracts. And I hand them to him. And he says, turn around and come back to me. He said, hey, mister. He said, can you tell me how my righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? I said, yeah, I can tell you right here. I said, you go home and you find Romans chapter 4. You just turn to chapter 4. And you start reading Romans chapter 4, and you just start to reading, and it says here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See? Even as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness. That word impute means add to your account, see, without work, see. And then the old Paul said, blessed is the man in whom God will not impute sin, will not add sin to your account. And when I studied that a long time ago, I found out that I won't be in charge with sin that the old body was doing. See, this old body we live in, it's nothing but dirt. Nothing but dirt, see. Back on in the garden of God created Adam. When he did, he made him from the dust of the earth. And then he won't nothing but a dirt man. Then he pulled him up to him and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living soul. So that part that God put in him is eternal. That's the spirit man. But the part that he made, well, we're told in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, in the 12th chapter, it's going back, this old dirt, going back to the earth from which it came. But the same verse, chapter 7, but the spirit is going to return to God. Well, what about the man that don't accept Christ? Well, we're told in, let's pop my mistake, Ezekiel, let me see, 18, I believe it is. Ezekiel 18, we're told that, here's what it says right here, about in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth of it as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. See, and so the spirit is living on somewhere right now. You say, well, I read where the spirit, the sinner shall die. Yeah, all right, turn to Ezekiel. Don't you see this now? Turn to Ezekiel. I believe this is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 30. I'll tell you what it says. It says, God says, all souls are mine. but the soul that sinneth shall die. What he's saying is, he's saying the soul that rejects what my son Jesus did on Calvary's cross is gonna die. That's what he's talking about, that kind of sin, not the body dying. The body gonna die anyway. But he says the soul that rejects Christ, see. And so I read that, and I said, well, you see there, this old body is gonna die, but the inner man is gonna live on somewhere. So today, the man that never gets saved, the spirit man that never gets saved, he is cast forever from the presence of God. But his body, that body don't die. It's there forever. It's there forever. If I wish I could find that, but it's too much to find, see. But anyway, if the soul that sinneth, it gets cast away from God. It's called death when you reject God and when the Spirit. But that's over there in Romans, in the second Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and the 16th verse. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and the 16th verse. Hear what it says here. In whom the gods of this world, let's see, 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, the spirit man, is renewed day by day. So that you know that the spirit man, this soul body of the spirit man, he's gonna keep on messing up. But God don't charge the inner man with sin. What did I say in Romans chapter 4 and what did I tell you there? It says it, Romans 4. It says here in the word of God, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even David, as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And then goes on down. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't charge him with sin. That's the inner man. That's the man I'm talking about right over here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man, the flesh man, the dirt man, perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the man that's saved, the inner man. The outer man is never saved. I heard a man, he's just in the denomination, I won't get into that. But he kept on saying, if a man sins, he's still lost. If he ain't, well, I'll be honest with you. I used to know an elder lady on up in her, way on up in the 80s. And she was of a denomination that didn't believe in eternal security. She picked at me all the time. Every time I got around, she was always picking at me. Her son-in-law was going around working. Well, not where I was, but at my brother-in-law, and he says, this year, eternal security, that damnable religion, And my brother-in-law told him, you better hope that this sin, this flesh is not eternal. And so one day this lady was getting old. She done got on up in the 80s. She called me up one day and says, will you come over to my house? She said, I went in there and I carried a jug of water. She says to me, come on in here. Sit down right there. She says, Roy, I've been living this life for 80 some years. And she says, now I'm scared to die with disbelief. I want to hear about eternal security. And I told her about eternal security. And finally she couldn't get it. I said, all right, let me ask you, what's the most well-known scripture in the Bible? She says, John 3:16. I said, well, do you know it? She said, Lord, I know it backwards and forward. I said, say it. She says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. I said, now wait a minute, what about that now? What you fixing to say? She says, have everlasting life. I said, what is that? She says, all these years I've been reading this verse, and that says everlasting life. That means eternal security. She said, well, she cried like a baby. Well, long before she died, and standing at the funeral, I stand beside her as a son-in-law of hers. I said, well, she died a happy person because she knew where she was going. What do you mean she knew? I said, she knew where she was going. So today, we need to know this book. We need to know this book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed. Study to know the book. See? And so, may God bless you. This man, he really knew the word, didn't he? He had the chaplain all stirred up there. But you see, he knew what he was talking about. We need to know that today. We have an insurance policy, life insurance. We have an accident insurance policy. And we have a fire insurance policy. We're not going to burn. We're not going to die. And we're not going to have no accidents. May God bless you. I love you. If I can ever be of help to you, let me know. Sorry that my throat is like it is, but that's the way it is. But if it, I'll do my best to just keep on telling it. God bless you. So I turn it over to Buddy now. And if I can ever be of help to you, let me know. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, boy, he stands with outstretched hands saying, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to leave these up here, brother.
Thank you.
of the gun, just like we are.
Enjoy that. It's a good message. We do need to study the word. We can't know it unless we study it. All right. Remember Wednesday night, same time, same station, 7 o'clock. No, one more week before business meeting.
Thank you.
Let's shake hands with Brother Roy. Might be seeing him again. Yeah. Y'all have a good afternoon.